This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
In my mind, it begins today. Blake LaBelle is a college basketball analyst, host of Forever March and Marching to Madness, Southeast Hoops podcast as well. Hey, Blake, good morning. Thanks for joining us again. Hope you're doing well.
Guys, doing great. Yeah, it's my favorite time of year, there's no doubt. So today's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we are about 2 hours away from our contest. Well, actually, an hour and a half away from our contest being closed up as the tournament gets underway. We want to get your take on the regionals themselves. But first of all, Blake, topical news. Ole Miss, within the hour, has announced hiring Kermit Davis from Middle Tennessee as their head coach of the Rebel basketball program. I love the hire. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good hire, too, and it's something that hasn't really been much of a secret. I mean, you know, I think we had some information probably several days ago that led me to believe that this was pretty much a done deal. And now that he's there, I mean, he's a Mississippi native. He was someone, I think, that it was all about location, but it was also about the timing. And look, Middle Tennessee got left out of the tournament. I think a lot of people thought that they shouldn't have had. And he just kind of saw it to where the point, look, what else can they do there? Because it's clear that the NCAA tournament committee is pretty much making teams like Middle Tennessee have to be perfect to get into the tournament as an at-large candidate. And now that they see that those type of bids are disappearing pretty much year after year,
yes,
I'm not sure what else you can do there. And so I think it was the right time for him to make a move.
That's a tough one as the tournament devolves into, you know, again, just I guess it was 9 at-large bids for non-Power 5 schools this year, and there have been 28 a couple of years ago.
Mm. Hey,
let's get into the regionals, John. What do you say?
Yeah, and the SEC involvement, not only in the entire tournament, but as we start out, 8 teams from the SEC. What do you make of that? Is the SEC a lot better than they have been in the past? And will it show as we go further into the tournament? Because I'm not so sure we're going to have any SEC teams make it out of the Sweet 16.
Well, and that's the thing. And, yes, I do think the SEC is a lot better. And I think anybody who's kind of seen the trajectory of this conference over the past several years kind of understands that. But on the flip side, like you just said, there's legitimate case where you could look at pretty much all of these first round matchups and feel like they're not necessarily great matchups for the SEC team. And so I think that's the biggest problem. And then you're going to have a situation where we talked all year about how much better the SEC is, but if they come out and, you know, let's say 6 of the 8 teams get beat in the first round, everybody's going to start saying, well, you know, the SEC was clearly overrated. And all that stuff. But I don't think that's the case. It's just the NCAA tournament's about matchups. And I think when you look at some of these matchups, Tennessee probably has the best draw. Everybody else, you could look at these first-round games and feel like you're not fully confident that they're going to win those games. And so I think it's something where it's going to be interesting because I don't know how many SEC teams we could see in that second weekend because they're all have the potential to get there. But it's going to be a hard road, there's no doubt, because there's some tough draws in there.
Well, let's start with, chronologically, Alabama plays tonight against Virginia Tech in an 8-9 in the East. Specifically speaking about Alabama, short-lived in this deal or not, Blake?
Here's what I keep going back to with Alabama, and I think it's something that probably a lot of people are going to look at and say, well, Alabama's really up and down all year long, and they haven't really been able to show the ability to sustain that success. They've been able to get up for the good teams, but it's like they haven't always been able to get up for the teams that are kind of middle of the pack. Good news is that you're going to play good teams the rest of the way, so you feel like Alabama, at least from that perspective, could be in pretty good shape. When Colin Sexton's on the floor, I think you've got a chance. The problem that I think Alabama's going to run into is Virginia Tech is a very high-powered scoring team. They're one of the best shooting teams in the country. They can shoot it well from three, and they have some very good balance. Alabama is going to have people not named Colin Sexton step up and score. If Dante Hall doesn't play, that makes things more difficult. I think Alabama can win this game, but like I said a minute ago, I don't necessarily feel like this is a great draw for Alabama.
Auburn College of Charleston. Know a little bit about College of Charleston. Can't really get my mind set on exactly what kind of tempo and approach they're going to take in this game tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's all about, really, because Auburn is going to want to get down the floor, find those open shots in transition. We've seen Auburn, when they get rolling, they can really get going, and we know that for how well they can shoot the ball. But Charleston really likes to kind of slow the game down, and if they're able to do that, I think it makes it difficult on Auburn. And Earl Grant, one of the top rising young coaches probably in the country right now. You're going to hear his name mentioned with other jobs probably that are going to open up power conference-wise. And they've got some good scores on that team as well. Both teams kind of play in a very similar manner. And so I think that's the biggest thing is whoever can kind of control the tempo. And you wonder, you know, for Auburn, they've got to keep people out of the paint because not having Anthony McLemore, that kind of limits their ceiling. But if they can keep people out of the paint, guard well on perimeter, Auburn's good enough to shoot anybody out of the gym.
Auburn in the Midwest Regional. Ultimately, that ends up in Omaha. Alabama in the East Regional. That will end up in Boston. Who do you like out of each of those regionals, Blake?
Well, I think when you look at the East, Villanova's just, to me, yeah, all season long, has really been the most consistent team when they've been healthy. They just feel like the strongest team in this field from top to bottom. So I would have a hard time going with anyone other than Villanova, and that's why I think Alabama got a really tough draw where they wound up. But if you look at the Midwest, I mean, it feels like just you've got three or four national championship type of teams in there. Mm-hmm. I think three of the top seven betting favorites are all in the Midwest, with Kansas, Duke, and Michigan State. I've gone back and forth between those three teams. I think Michigan State's probably the best of those three just in terms of the way they play, and Tom Izzo, we know his success there. I would lean a little bit towards Michigan State, but I can't say in any form or fashion that I'd be surprised if it wound up being Kansas or Duke.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking Michigan State, Blake. They seem to be getting a lot of run, and you mentioned Duke. You know, they're blue blood. Everybody knows what they've done. Not hearing as much about them, but I like them. I got Duke winning it all.
See, and we can definitely see that because everybody talks about the lack of experience and all that, and they're just like Kentucky, one of the youngest teams in the country, the one and done, all that. But there's still a lot of talent on that floor. And when the talent comes together, this is one of the most dangerous teams in the country. They're a top seven defensive team. They're a top three offensive team. When you can do it on the both sides of the floor like that, you put yourself in pretty good position. What I think could be tricks for Duke is that second-round matchup, whether it is Rhode Island or Oklahoma. I know how bad Oklahoma's played, but they still have Trae Young on the floor, and you feel like they can kind of go off at any time maybe. Rhode Island's a team that has that sort of toughness, similar to a South Carolina last year that Duke saw in the second round. I think that would be an interesting matchup probably for Duke should they get that game.
Well, in the South region, I picked Virginia to win it all just days before I found out, or a day before I found out their sixth man was going to be gone for the rest of the year. If Virginia can push through, that would certainly help me out. I've got them winning the title. But if not Virginia, my gosh, Arizona looks good to me as a four seed. What are your thoughts on the South?
Yeah, I think Arizona's a hard team to pick against right now because they look like one of those teams, and we go back to the regular season, when you see a team like Auburn, they kind of just look like a team that had the mentality and was on a mission. And I think that's what Arizona looks like right now, where it's just kind of, you know, the whole Sean Miller thing that came out and now going back on that, it just feels like it's sort of an us against the world type of mentality that Arizona's using. And with DeAndre Ayton, who is just an absolute monster in there, I don't know how anyone's going to be able to stop him, even a team like Kentucky. Should Kentucky get past Davidson? And that's another interesting discussion because I think Davidson shoots the ball well enough to really make things hard on Kentucky. I don't know if we're going to see Kentucky shoot the ball the way they did in the SEC tournament. And so Arizona, to me, looks like the most sort of powerful team in that region. And I'm telling you guys, I would not look past Tennessee either because Tennessee's shown that toughness all year long, the ability to win away from home. I know they don't really have anything flashy to them. They may not have that true superstar type of player, but they got a bunch of really, really good players that are tough. I think Tennessee could be that sneaky pick that comes out of here in the South.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What your quick thoughts about the West? What do you see there? Xavier, maybe North Carolina, Blake?
I think the best way to sum up the West is just call it the Wild Wild West, because I don't know what we're going to get out of this region, because Xavier, as much as I like Chris Mack, I think they have some vulnerabilities here. And when you look at the potential path for them, I'm not saying Missouri is a national championship type of team, but if Michael Porter comes out and kind of gets back into his rhythm, that's a scary second-round matchup should Xavier advance and Missouri advance. And then when you look beyond that, Gonzaga, who we all thought maybe takes a step back, I don't think so. I think they're as dangerous as anybody in that region. I'll be honest with you guys. I've got Gonzaga going back to the Final Four because I'm not sure I completely trust North Carolina or Michigan there at the bottom.
Wow. Interesting. You mentioned this earlier. In the world of Blake Lovell, on the website at BlakeLovellSports.com, is it DeAndre Ayton? Is it Marvin Bagley? Maybe Jalen Brunson? Who's the player of the year in college basketball this year, Blake?
Boy, DeAndre Ayton has made it hard on me to kind of go elsewhere with the way he's finished the season. But I'll tell you guys, I just think Jalen Brunson is someone that is kind of that rock. And like I said, for what I feel is the best team in the country, he's the most consistent player, I think, in the entire country. He's someone you feel like you can rely on and lean on in any sort of situation and feel pretty good about your chances. So I would go with Brunson, even though I know Bagley and Ayton get all the attention. Yeah. Brunson's just one of those guys that goes out, does the work, and gets his job done.
I like it. Mm-hmm. You are certainly well-versed in college basketball. We wanted to get you one on the time slot. We did, because our listeners only have about an hour and a half to get the brackets in, and you're as good as anybody at cluing people in on what's important. Let's talk a little bit about, as we close, about your website, your podcast. What's going on with you during the tournament?
Yeah, guys, I've got stuff going on everywhere. SoutheastHoops.com, that's where all the SEC work will be. And then for the more national sort of related stuff, you can go over to the Marching to Madness podcast. That's on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever they call it these days. we do breakdowns of every single region. We'll have podcasts going up pretty much every night after all the action is over. So there's a lot of good knowledge in there. If you're filling out brackets, as I always say, listen to what I have to say and then do the complete opposite, and you'll be
Well, it's good information. As Barry mentioned before, the tournament begins and people have to have their brackets in. Maybe they got some info they can use. It'll certainly help their bracket be more successful. Blake, man, thanks for your time. It's been very informative. We got to do this again soon.
No doubt.
Absolutely, guys. Always enjoy. Thanks for having me.
Blake Lovell appears on our Dreamland Barbecue.